history, apologetics, and current events. From the Housetops, coming up next.
In his wonderful composition on the liturgical year, Abbot Dom Guéranger offers this beautiful tribute to the Blessed Virgin Mary on her birthday, September 8th. He writes, "At length, O Mary, our earth possesses thee. Thy birth reveals to the world the secret of its destiny, the secret of that love which called it from nothingness, that it might become the palace of God who dwelt above the heavens. But what a mystery that poor, weak humanity, inferior to the angels by nature, should be chosen to give to the angels their king and their queen. Their king they will soon adore, a newborn babe in thine arms. Their queen they reverence today, admiring thee in thy cradle, as only angels can admire. In the beginning, these morning stars, these noble spirits, contemplated the manifestations of Almighty power and praised the Most High. Yet never did their eager gaze discover such a marvel as that which delights their eyes at this hour of thy birth. O Queen of Angels, thou art our Queen also. Accept us as thy servants. On this day, when the first movement of thy holy soul was towards God, and the first smile of thy lovely eyes was for thy happy parents, may holy Anne and Joachim allow us to kneel and kiss thy little hand, already filled with the divine bounties of which thou art the predestined dispenser. And now, grow up, sweet little one. Let thy feet be strengthened to crush the serpent, and thy arms to carry the treasure of the world. Angels and men, the whole of nature, God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, are all awaiting the solemn moment when Gabriel may fly down from heaven to hail thee full of grace and bring thee the message of eternal love."
The Golden Arrow. This prayer was revealed by our Lord to a Carmelite nun of Tours in 1843 as a reparation for blasphemy. "This golden arrow will wound my heart delightfully," he said, "and heal the wounds inflicted by blasphemy." May the most holy, most sacred, most adorable, most incomprehensible, and ineffable name of God be forever praised, blessed, loved, adored, and glorified in heaven, on earth, and in the hells, by all the creatures of God, and by the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the most holy sacrament of the altar. Amen.
Let us now repeat and summarize the attacks on the Blessed Trinity. Atheism denies the existence of God. Polytheism teaches that there are many gods. Pantheism holds everything is a part of God, the whole universe is the whole God. Gnosticism teaches there are two gods, one good, the other evil. All spiritual things come from the God of good. All material things come from the God of evil. Manichaeism holds to the same errors as Gnosticism. In addition, it attacks the truth of the incarnation and the redemption. Arianism denies the divinity of Jesus Christ. Macedonianism denies the divinity of the Holy Spirit. Unitarianism denies the Trinity and stresses the unity of God. Agnosticism holds we cannot be certain about the existence of God. Protestantism holds to individual interpretation of the Bible and thus denies the teaching authority of the Catholic Church. Protestantism is made up of innumerable sects. Many of its followers have abandoned important truths of the faith, including the Trinity and the divinity of Jesus Christ. In order that we may review and more fully understand just what the Catholic Church teaches about the triune God and each of the three divine persons, let us thoughtfully pray the following creed. This creed, sometimes called the War Song of Faith, is known as the Athanasian Creed, though it was probably not composed by St. Athanasius. Nevertheless, it certainly does contain the doctrine which he taught and so courageously upheld. The great St. Teresa loved to pray this creed. It is a powerful prose poem, a beautiful confession of faith in the Trinity, and a profound prayer of adoration. Whosoever will be saved, before all things it is necessary that he hold the Catholic faith. Which faith, except everyone do keep whole and undefiled, without doubt he shall perish everlastingly. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Spirit, But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit is all one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit. The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated. The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Spirit incomprehensible. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Spirit eternal. And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. As also there are not three uncreated, nor three incomprehensible, but one uncreated and one incomprehensible. So likewise the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty. And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son God, and the Holy Spirit God. And yet there are not three gods, but one God. So likewise the Father is Lord, the Son Lord, and the Holy Spirit Lord. And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord. For as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge every person by himself to be God and Lord, so we are forbidden by the Catholic religion to say there be three gods or three lords. The Father is made by none, neither created nor begotten. The Son is of the Father alone, not made nor created, but begotten. The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding. So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. And in this Trinity none is before or after the other. None is greater or less than another, but the whole three persons are co-equal and co-eternal together. So that in all things, as has been said, the unity in Trinity and the Trinity in unity is to be worshipped. He therefore that will be saved must thus think of the Trinity. Furthermore, it is necessary to everlasting salvation that he also believe rightly the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the right faith is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ is God and man, God of the substance of the Father begotten before the world, and man of the substance of his mother born into the world, perfect God and perfect man, of a reasonable soul and human flesh subsisting, equal to the Father as touching his Godhead, and inferior to the Godhead as touching his manhood, who, although he be God and man, yet he is not two, but one Christ, one altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person. For as the reasonable soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ, who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead, he ascended into heaven, he sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead, at whose coming all men shall rise again with their bodies, and shall give account of their works. And they that have done good shall go into life everlasting, and they that have done evil into everlasting fire. This is the Catholic faith, which except a man believe faithfully and firmly, he cannot be saved. And we conclude with what is so beautifully sung in the hymn, Holy God, we praise thy name. Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Spirit, three we name thee, while in essence only one, undivided God, we claim thee, and adoring bend the knee while we own the mystery.
From the Housetops is a Catholic magazine dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, while promoting her cause in the present conflict with the powers of darkness. The issue featuring St. Paul Miki and the Martyrs of Japan relates the story of 26 uncompromising heroes of the faith who gave their lives for preaching the gospel of Christ. What was designed to be a terror tactic by the government turned out to be one of the most notable scenes of martyrdom throughout the centuries, planting the seed of faith deep into the heart of the Japanese people. To request your free copy of From the Housetops, St. Paul Miki issue, email info@stbenedict.com or write to St. Benedict Center, P.O. Box 1000, Still River, Massachusetts, 01467.
Stay with us. We'll be back with more From the Housetops after this break.
Hi, this is Elena Rodriguez with EWTN. You're listening to WQPH 89.3 FM, Shirley Fitchburg.
This is Peter and Jemmy, author of Hail Mary, the Perfect Protestant and Catholic Prayer. You should jump on to WQPH Saturday starting at 11. We begin with local matters, followed by the 13th Apostle, then me on your prayer intentions, and then Talk Catholic.
And every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and 4 p.m. From the Housetops. And then at midnight, Benedict's Hammer. Right here on WQPH 89.3 FM, Shirley Fitchburg.
So we're here at Sacred Hearts Church, and I ran into a very dear friend, Deacon Patino. Deacon, you know, it's the summer, and people's faith is getting cold while the heat is coming. What can people do to stimulate and rise up their level of love for God in the summer when it's so hot?
I think that the most important thing right now is to become closer to the Eucharist, to Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament. For those Catholics that have fallen away, for those Catholics that want to find a reason why to come to church, the best and the greatest gift that the Lord has given to us is His presence, body, soul, and divinity in the Holy Eucharist. So I encourage all of you to come before Jesus in the presence, in the tabernacle, and talk to Him, and let Him talk to you. Jesus wants to hear you. So I invite all of you to come before the Blessed Sacrament and pray and talk to Him and tell Him how much you love Him. God bless you all.
On the WQPH community calendar,
adoration is coming back to St. Bernard's. A reminder, it's going to be in the church proper. It's not going to be 24/7, but there will be adoration in the church proper. Now, of course, if there's a mass, a funeral mass or something, the adoration won't take place during the mass. But if you want to swing down St. Bernard's, that's supposed to start in the middle of September. Adoration will take place, and I think that's a very good thing, because given all that we have going on, we need more adoration, we need more rosaries.
Hi, this is Andy Cooney, and you're listening to 89.3 FM WQPH Shirley Fitchburg. I'm delighted that listeners in this area can enjoy Catholic radio from EWTN 24 hours a day. When you receive a request for a donation to help WQPH, please be as generous as you can.
Thank you, Andy. Please help us at WQPH by sending your donation, large or small, to Eternal Life Radio, Post Office Box 589, Medford, Mass. 02155. Or visit us online at www.wqph.org. Thank you for listening.
Hi, this is Teresa Tamio, and you're listening to WQPH Shirley Fitchburg on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
True Devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary by St. Louis de Montfort. The Wearing of Little Chains. It is a most glorious and praiseworthy thing, and very useful to those who have thus made themselves slaves of Jesus and Mary, that they should wear as a sign of their loving slavery little iron chains blessed with the proper blessing. It is perfectly true that these external insignia are not essential, and a person who has embraced this devotion may very well go without them. Nevertheless, I cannot refrain from warmly praising those who, after having shaken off the shameful chains of the slavery of the devil, in which original sin and perhaps actual sin had bound them, have voluntarily surrendered themselves to the glorious slavery of Jesus Christ, and glory with St. Paul in being in chains for Christ, chains 1,000 times more glorious and precious, though of iron, than all the golden ornaments of emperors. Once there was nothing more infamous on earth than the cross, and now that wood is the most glorious boast of Christianity. Let us say the same of the irons of slavery. There was nothing more ignominious among the ancients. There is nothing more shameful even now among the heathens. But among Christians, there is nothing more illustrious than the chains of Jesus, for they unchain us and preserve us from the infamous fetters of sin and the devil. They set us at liberty and chain us to Jesus and Mary, not by compulsion and constraint, like galley slaves, but by charity and love, like children. I will draw them to me, says God, by the mouth of the prophet, by the chains of love. Osee 11:14. These chains are as strong as death, and in a certain sense even stronger than death, in those who are faithful in carrying these glorious chains to their death. For though death destroys their bodies by bringing them to corruption, it does not destroy the chains of their slavery, which, being of iron, do not corrode so easily. Perhaps on the day of the resurrection of the body, at the last judgment, these chains shall be around their bones, and shall be a part of their glory, and be transmuted into chains of light and splendor. Happy then, 1,000 times happy, the illustrious slaves of Jesus who wear their chains even to the tomb. The following are the reasons for wearing these little chains. First, to remind the Christian of the vows and promises of his baptism, of the perfect renewal he has made of them by this devotion, and of the strict obligation under which he is to be faithful to them. As man, who shapes his course more often by the senses than by pure faith, easily forgets his obligations toward God unless he has some outward thing to remind him of them, these little chains serve marvelously to remind the Christians of the chains of sin and the slavery of the devil from which baptism has delivered him, and of the dependence on Jesus which he has vowed to him in baptism, and of the ratification of it which he has made by the renewal of his vows. One of the reasons why so few Christians think of their baptismal vows and live with as much license as if they had promised no more to God than the heathen is that they do not wear any external sign to remind them of their vows. Secondly, to show that we are not ashamed of the servitude and slavery of Jesus Christ, and that we renounce the slavery of the world, of sin, and of the devil. Thirdly, to protect ourselves against the chains of sin and of the devil, for we must wear either the chains of sinners or the chains of charity and salvation. O my dear brother, let us break the chains of sin and sinners, of the world and worldliness, of the devil and his ministers, and let us cast far from us their depressing yoke. Let us put our feet, to use the terms of the Holy Ghost, into his glorious fetters, and our necks into his chains. Let us shoulder and carry the divine wisdom, that is Jesus Christ, and let us never weary of his chains. You will remark that the Holy Ghost, before saying these words, prepares a soul for them, lest it should reject his important counsel. See his words, "Hearken, my son, and receive a counsel of understanding, and reject not my counsel." Ecclesiasticus 6:24. You would wish, my very dear friend, that I should here unite myself to the Holy Ghost to give you the same counsel as his. His chains are chains of salvation. Ecclesiasticus 6:31. As Jesus Christ on the cross must draw all to himself, whether they will it or not, he will draw the reprobate by the chains of their sins, that he may chain them like galley slaves and devils to his eternal anger and revengeful justice. But he will, and particularly in these latter times, draw the predestinate by the chains of charity. I will draw all things to myself, he says. I will draw them with the bands of love. These loving slaves of Jesus Christ, the chained of Christ, can wear their chains on their feet or on their arms, around their body, or around their neck. Father Vincent Carafa, 7th Superior General of the Jesuits, who died in the odor of sanctity in the year 1643, used to wear an iron band around his feet as a mark of his servitude, and he said that his only regret was that he could not publicly drag a chain. Mother Agnes of Jesus, of whom we have spoken before, used to wear an iron chain around her body. Others have worn it around their neck in penance for the pearl necklaces which they had worn in the world, while others have worn it around their arms to remind themselves in their manual labors that they were the slaves of Jesus Christ.
From the Housetops Radio features the same Catholic doctrine, spirituality, church history, and apologetics published for over 40 years in From the Housetops magazine. This program, dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, promotes her cause in the age-old conflict with the powers of darkness. From the Housetops on WQPH 89.3 FM.
Hammond's Meditations. Let us adore God severely chastising pride in the person of Lucifer and of the bad angels. Hardly had these rebels conceived the first thought of raising themselves above what God had made them, than God casts them down from the highest heaven to the lowest depths of hell, and makes them pass in one moment from extreme happiness to extreme misery. What is pride? Pride is an inordinate esteem of our own excellence, which is always aspiring to raise itself higher and higher. It is a subtle poison which insinuates itself insensibly into the soul and corrupts it, if it does not destroy the most sublime virtues. It is a mental malady which makes us lose our mental balance and leads to insanity, there being no greater madmen than the proud, who feed upon wind and smoke and lose eternal glory for the glory of a moment. It is a poisoned fountain, whence flow from it all kinds of sin. And this evil is more common than we think, for it is pride which, after having been the ruin of the bad angels, is still the cause of every day casting so great a number of men into perdition. It is an evil which tends to nothing less than to dethrone God in the soul by stealing his glory from him, an evil which the Holy Spirit for this reason strikes with anathemas of heaven and earth. Therefore God confounds the proud, first in this world, by permitting them to fall into shameful sins, then in the next world, by casting them into the lowest depths of hell, there to be eternally insulted by the devils. Are these the sentiments we entertain in regard to pride? And do we thoroughly understand the horror with which it ought to inspire us? In what manner we render ourselves guilty of pride? We render ourselves guilty of pride in many ways. First, by attaching ourselves to our own ideas and our own will. We prefer our own way of looking at things to that which is held by others, and we are determined to cling to it. We are independent, we will follow only our own will, and if we are obliged to obey, we are annoyed at having to do so. We murmur, and we do it badly. Through presumption, we think ourselves to be capable of everything. We have no doubts about it. We cast ourselves rashly into the most difficult enterprises, and yet, at the same time, we are stopped by the slightest obstacles. By complacence in ourselves, we are proud of the smallest advantages which we imagine ourselves to possess. We prefer ourselves to others, and in order to give a reason for this preference, we keep our attention fixed solely on their defects. We make but little account of them. We criticize and ridicule them. We find something to blame in all that they do. We approve only what we do ourselves, and we expect that no one should blame us for any of these things. By boasting, we speak of ourselves at every opportunity. We praise ourselves on every occasion. We endeavor to make ourselves looked upon as something. We aspire to honors, to dignities, to exalted positions. We believe that we deserve them and do all we can to obtain them. By self-sufficiency, we will not take advice from anyone. We imagine that we are sufficient to ourselves. And lastly, by hypocrisy, we make an outward show of possessing more piety and virtue, more talent and capacity than we really possess. Let us examine our conscience. Are there not in us some of these characteristics of pride? And let us resolve first carefully to watch over our interior in order to keep ourselves on our guard against the inspirations of pride, of self-esteem, and of the desire to be esteemed. And lastly, to hold pride in horror, and every day to endeavor to correct ourselves. Let us remember the words of Tobias to his son, "Never suffer pride to reign in thy mind or in thy words, for from it all perdition took its beginning."
Immaculate Heart of Mary High School helps students attain their future goals and makes them aware of their responsibilities to God, family, and society. Immaculate Heart of Mary High School, preserving traditional Catholic education. For more information, visit us at www.saintbenedict.com. That's all one word, S-A-I-N-T, Benedict.com.
The greatest, most serious pandemic of all time. No, not the coronavirus. The most devastating plague mankind has ever suffered, and that continues to rage to this day, is sin. All the physical maladies, every disease suffered by humanity can never approach the consequences of a single mortal sin. For what sufferings of this life, in either intensity or duration, can equal the fires of hell for all eternity. While we're taking great precautions to prevent the spread of communicable disease, it is a perfect time to reflect on the even more urgent necessity of protecting ourselves and our loved ones from sin. It is a doctrine of our holy faith that by Adam, the head of the human race, sin entered the world, and by sin, death. Romans chapter 5. The soul, subject to this spiritual death caused by original sin, is restored to supernatural life by sanctifying grace applied to it by baptism. We need to get serious about this real pandemic. Avoid occasions of sin like the plague. If we get infected, go to confession, so that with sincere sorrow for our sins, the sacrament can restore us to spiritual life.
From the Housetops is produced by the Slaves of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, Still River, Massachusetts.